Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. This week, Canada's Minister of International Trade made an official visit to Detroit. François-Philippe Champagne met with auto industry officials and other business leaders, as well as attended Women's Business Enterprise National Council's business fair. Minister Champagne joins us now. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you very much for having me.
I was reading a press release from the consulate's office, and this bullet point struck me. It read, "The U.S.-Canada trade relationship has long been a model for the world. It is growing, it is balanced, it is fair, and it supports growth, innovation, and well-paying jobs in both countries." And I thought, well, does that really hold up when President Trump is verbally attacking the Prime Minister of Canada and raising tariffs on our largest trading partner?
Well, the first thing, you know, when you're in Detroit, you just look at, I'm speaking to, I can see the Canadian flag on the other side, just shows how close we are. And when you think that, I was looking at the statistics, as you would expect when you come here, and I was looking, 65% of everything that is exported from Michigan is exported to Canada. And about 260,000 jobs depend on trade between our two countries. So I think there's no other place in the world where you could see how much we are linked. And the reality is that we just don't sell to each other. We make things together. You know, when you talk about the auto industry here, when you talk about the regional chamber of commerce, you realize that, what we need to make out of NAFTA is how can we become more competitive? How can we build more in North America and we can sell to the world? For me, we have a golden opportunity in front of us, and that's what Canada has been pushing, is to say, let's modernize NAFTA. Let's make sure that we have this border which is as fluid as it needs to be to allow more commerce between our two countries, which are creating the jobs that we both want.
The question is, though, does this all hold up, what we have, when President Trump is verbally attacking the Prime Minister and raising tariffs?
Well, what I can say is that as Canadians, we will always do diplomacy the Canadian way, which is being positive, constructive, but being firm to defend our workers and our industries. We understand that, if there's no two nations in the world which have a bigger alliances. We're friends, we're allies, we're partners. And this is reflected in our trading relationship. Just put in perspective that, we exchange 2 billion of goods and services every single day. We have 400,000 people crossing the border every day. So my point is, we don't need a Canadian exemption. We need a Canadian exception, because the reality is that over the last 24 years, we have integrated our supply chain. When you talk to the big auto companies, they'll tell you here is that their supply chain is not built around the border. They're built around efficiencies. And if you look at the trading relationship between Canada and the U.S., this relationship has provided millions of middle-class jobs on both sides. In fact, 9 million middle-class jobs in the United States depend on trade with Canada. So for us, we think that Canada has never been the problem. We're part of the solution. We're at the table. We're constructive. And we think that the best way to maintain the jobs on both sides of the border is to work together, be competitive, and realize that the elephant in the room is certainly not Canada, is how we're going to structure ourselves to compete around the world.
Michigan and Canada's economies are so intertwined that Michigan is going to be hit harder than much of the rest of the nation if this trade tiff escalates, especially if President Trump puts new tariffs on cars imported from Canada. What do you believe will happen in that case?
Well, what I can say is that certainly we'll be continuing to make the case with, in places like Detroit and states like Michigan and other states to say, let's look at the facts. Let's look at the reality. Common sense must prevail, because if we want to preserve the middle-class jobs we have created on both sides, if we want to build more here, our automakers, our industry depend on the fluidity of our border. Let me give you an example. Recently, I was in Ohio, and I was saying 40% of everything that Ohio produces is exported to Canada. But more interestingly, 50% of that 40% is intra-company trade. So I had CEOs looking at me and say, well, it doesn't really make sense any tariff, because this is the same balance sheet. And this is the case we've been bringing here to the Detroit Chamber of Commerce. This is the case that I was making to our U.S. colleagues and friends and say, let's make sure that we don't undermine our competitiveness, because we depend on us being competitive, not amongst each other, but, to compete with the rest of the world. So what we want to make sure is that we want to force a dialogue, Like I said, Canada will go on with tariffs which are reciprocal, which are dollar for dollar with the United States, but in the spirit of dialogue.
Can the auto industry ties between Canada and the U.S. be sustained under, let's say, car import tariffs as has been threatened?
Well, one of the things we need to realize is that if you look at the supply chain in the auto sector in particular, that supply chain, to change the supply chain, doesn't take 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. These supply chains are built over years, sometimes 3 to 5 years. So we really need to make sure that whatever politics we talk about or policies that we want to adopt reflect the reality on the ground, which is the fact that the supply chain are integrated. I think that's the message that they're sending both to Ottawa and Washington, is that let's make sure that, you know, the policies we adopt. And let's be clear, Canada was just doing that in response to U.S. tariff. We always wanted and will always defend our workers, but this is a responsive measure because we believe that the way forward is for us to work together.
President Trump has suggested bilateral trade deals with Canada and Mexico instead of NAFTA. Ottawa just rejected that. Why is Canada not interested in a bilateral trade deal?
Well, I think it's a reflection of the reality, like I was saying about the supply chain. We think that, you know, trade doesn't need to be a zero-sum game. We can have a win-win-win situation. We believe that NAFTA is a trilateral agreement, and the way to negotiate that is having the three party at the table to look at how can we remain competitive. That has been our position, and I think if you look at what we have achieved, let's remember that NAFTA is the largest trading bloc in the world. And that is something, in my view, we need to work, we need to modernize, we need to preserve, because this is how we remain competitive. The issue has never been between Canada and the U.S. The issue is how can together we can be more competitive and then compete with the rest of the world.
I saw a headline in the Globe and Mail last week, and it read, Canada rallying U.S. politicians, businesses to battle Trump on trade. How is that connected to your visit this week?
Well, my job is always to make the case, for a rule-based trading order, to make the case that when you look at Windsor and Detroit, if there's a place in North America where we see trade happening, I was seeing in the on the Ambassador Bridge and the link of the tunnel, we have about, 7,000 to 10,000 trucks every day. We have 2.5 million trucks every year crossing that. 30% of our trade in goods go to that link. So it just, for me, when I'm speaking to you and I'm seeing the Canadian flag on the other side, knowing the numbers, knowing the number of jobs that depend, it just reminds me, and I hopefully reminds all of us, that we are joined at the hip, and that the way forward is for us to work together to think about what is going to be the jobs of the future, whether it's about artificial intelligence, quantum computing. How can we work together to make sure that our auto sector remains the most competitive in the world? How can we make sure that the manufacturers can benefit from talent on both sides of the border? How can we work together to make sure that we promote around the world, a rule-based order which has provided stability, predictability, and I would say peace around the world?
I wanted to ask you one more question. You brought up the Ambassador Bridge a moment ago. As you know, the Maroon family owns that privately held bridge between Detroit and Canada. The Maroons bought a TV ad directed to President Trump to air on a Fox program the president regularly watches, and it called on the president to revoke a permit granted by President Obama regarding the new bridge, the Gordie Howe International Bridge. Could this U.S.-Canada trade tiff escalate to the point the Gordie Howe International Bridge Agreement falls apart?
Well, I would say when you have 30% of all goods that are traded between Canada going to that trade corridor, we need to make sure we have two functional links between Canada and the United States. I think it's in our mutual best interest. I mean, anyone in business who would have 30% of every goods that is traded between Canada and the United States going to that would understand that it's in our common mutual best interest as public elected leaders to make sure that we have two functioning links between our country. I don't think anyone would argue otherwise, because that's just common sense when you're running a business, and certainly when you look at the volume of trade that is happening on that corridor, we need to maintain open, to maintain jobs on both sides, competitiveness and productivity. I think this is essential to have two functioning links between Canada, United States, and that corridor.
Are you concerned about it?
Well, I would say Canada is committed to build the Gordie Howe Bridge. We understand that having two functional links is the best way to preserve one of the... By the way, this is not just the biggest trading corridor between Canada and the U.S. It is the largest trading corridor in the world. And I think when you know that, I think it's just common sense and good practices to make sure you have two functional links between our countries.
François-Philippe Champagne is Canada's Minister of International Trade. He's been visiting Detroit on an official visit. Thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us.
It was a real pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show.